This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb, and I'm talking with Doug McNair at EAA. He's their Vice President for Government Relations, and we're going to chat a little bit about this new announcement from the FAA this week about GA Fuels and their program that they've set up for trying to find a replacement for 100 low lead. So, Doug, thanks for talking to us.
Sure. Thank you, Mary. Good morning.
Hi. So I guess to start out, why don't you tell me, well, what's your take on this? Is it the five-year time frame? Is that a big deal? And what does that mean exactly? Is that a real deadline?
So the five-year projected completion date is really for the completion of testing and identification of a fuel. It is not necessarily implementation in the field. But that was part of FAA's strategic planning process a couple of years ago, where they set that as a milestone for the agency to try to achieve that level of testing and data collection that would lead us to the point that an unleaded fuel would be available for as much of the general aviation fleet as was technically possible.
Okay, so they're not saying it's 5 years do or die and 100 low lead will go away in 5 years?
Absolutely not. That's correct.
Okay, and what is the biggest problem here? Is it, I know there's been a lot of efforts out there, you know, GAMI had a fuel, and is it just the certification that's so difficult, or is it actually just difficult to replace 100 low lead? Is it a technical thing?
It's technically difficult to replace 100 low lead, and some have claimed that the last 20 years nothing has been done, but frankly, if you go back to the early 1990s when we first really thought we'd need to be up against a deadline for replacing leaded aviation gasoline, the question started out as basic as the aviation industry sitting across the table from the petroleum industry saying, what can you make? And the petroleum industry staring back at us and asking, what do you need? And we didn't have answers for any of that. So it began from that literal standoff to begin to try to address all of these unknowns to bring us to a point where we could lay out a program that would actually test and evaluate candidate fuels on a level playing field, using common facilities, common practices, same techniques, so that we had an apples-to-apples comparison of the fuels themselves. And that is what the FAA is embarking on here. And that is the culmination of a couple of years of work by both industry and FAA and EPA to set forth this program so that we can evaluate things like GAMI's fuel and Swift fuel and other fuels that might come forward from any of the major integrated petroleum companies or any other source for that matter. The important point here is that this is a process where we can gain confidence and knowledge of the fuels themselves on a common basis. So it's not conjecture or one person's data versus another person's data. It is actually a common process for all of the fuels, so we really get a common comparison and arrive at something we can all agree is the best possible solution.
Oh, okay. And are GA engines all alike? I mean, are we going to end up with a fuel where they'll say, well, this will work if your engine is, you know, less than 10 years old, but some of the older engines are going to be left out, or are they basically all the same?
So they're not all the same at all, but it's not so much a function of age as it is the octane needs of the engine. And that goes back to that question, what do you need, that the petroleum industry was asking. We didn't even know what the octane requirements of the general aviation fleet were. We just knew it worked on the fuel we had because that was how they were designed and certified. So no one had ever asked the question, what does the engine actually need? And there wasn't even a process for figuring that out. So that's the kind of work that had to go on before we could even begin to have this dialogue in a constructive way. And different engines require different levels of octane. Certainly the lower compression, lighter engines for lighter aircraft can work on a much lower octane fuel than 100. But as you work your way up the performance range of aircraft and get into the higher compression, higher performing engines, and consequently aircraft, their octane needs go through the roof and require something much closer to, if not 100 octane.
So I got the sense from the FAA's announcement that they're ready to settle for something that will satisfy most airplanes, and they don't expect to find something that will work for everyone.
So that's the key to this whole discussion about the past 20 years, is that we had spent 20 years trying to find that silver bullet, trying to find that fuel that would be a drop-in replacement for 100 low lead as we know it today, where we could literally just stop flowing 100 low lead and start flowing something new. And something on the order of 250 fuels were tested. Almost 50 of those were actually tested in aircraft engines on test stands, and we never were able to find a fuel that truly replicated the performance parameters of 100 LOLED, not just octane, but all of the other necessary parameters as well. And so that leads us to a place where we finally have exhausted that and recognized that whatever we do is going to be different. It's not necessarily going to be completely inferior, but it is going to be radically different, and that sets up a whole new process and requirement for testing and recertification of the fleet. That's why this program is so critical, because it generates a lot of the data necessary to transition the existing fleet to the new fuel. And in the absence of that, the best idea for a fuel in the world isn't going to make it to market because the fleet won't be able to use it. So there has to be a process that brings the entire existing fleet and future production of aircraft into this new fuel. With many of the former manufacturers out of business, many of the aircraft no longer supported, even if the companies are still in existence, there's no one there who would spend the money to literally go out and test every aircraft and airframe combination for a new fuel. There's just no resources for it. So in the absence of that, we can't transition the fleet, no matter how good the fuel is. So this FAA program is vital to that, because it will bring us the data necessary to make that transition and actually implement a fuel in the field.
Okay. But when that transition happens, I mean, even if you find a fuel that works for 85% of the airplanes, then what happens to the other 15%?
So the point of this program is to establish and find the best possible candidate that will satisfy as much of the fleet as possible. That's the goal. We recognize we probably won't find a fuel that will be the silver bullet that will just magically replace 100 LOLED. So there will be a delta there of some kind. The object is to make that as small as possible, and to do that by assessing the fuels on a level playing field and arriving at the best candidate. For those aircraft that might not, in one way or another, be able to perform on the new fuel, then you have to start examining what's required to make up that difference. Is it a change in timing? Is it some sort of a change to the ignition system, a change in performance parameters, what have you? But it is acknowledged now, and it's taken the industry all of these years to come to this place where we can accept that, you know what, there isn't a silver bullet. And even if we make 100 octane, there are compromises in other properties of the fuel. So you may have to replace some materials that might not be compatible with the new fuel, for example. It may not be an octane issue. But the fuels are going to be chemically so radically different that we have to assess all of those parameters and make sure that the aircraft will operate, that they won't, their durability won't be degraded, and so forth. For that delta, then, we may have to find some technical fixes to address where the aircraft and the fuel don't meet each other.
So do you have a sense of how manufacturers are coping with this? I know for a while it seemed like everyone wanted to switch to diesel, but that seems to have sort of stalled.
Diesel has been an elusive technology. It's a tough one because you have to have extraordinarily high compression to keep the diesel cycle going, and that implies having fairly strong and durable materials, which implies weight. So the weight-to-power ratio of diesel has always been a great challenge for aviation applications. There have obviously been some successful designs out there that have been used, but it has not been... Let's face it, it's not the best weight-to-power ratio for an aircraft engine, so it is a compromise in and of itself at this point in time.
Okay, and there's no other clear alternative out there?
No, and remember, the general aviation fleet that we have is the general aviation fleet we're going to have for the foreseeable future. There's no wholesale replacement of the fleet, so it's really not an option to go tell every aircraft owner out there that, oh, by the way, you're going to have to change not only the fuel, but your engine or your whole fuel system. To accommodate some new technology. In other words, gasoline engines are out the window, you're going to have to go buy a diesel engine for every aircraft out there. That's not an option. So we really have to address this as close as possible with the fuel itself.
Okay, well, thanks. Is there anything else you think we should touch on this topic?
Well, I think that we in the industry, this is not just an FAA program. FAA is managing it, but I think what everybody needs to understand is that this program is a culmination of several years of work and collaboration by aircraft manufacturers, engine manufacturers, consumer groups like ours, and the EPA and people who sell and distribute and produce and manufacture fuels. So this process is what the combination that the aviation community and the petroleum industry have agreed to that is necessary to evaluate the fuels in the aircraft they're going into so that we all arrive at a common place and a common understanding necessary to not just manufacture a fuel, but to bring it to marketplace in a way that it's viable for all of us. So this isn't just an FAA program. This is the industries, aviation and petroleum and others, guiding the FAA forward into this process. And so we're very, frankly, pleased to see that it is occurring. This is a milestone where we're finally able to begin to accept candidate fuels into the program. So all the theoretical conversation is done. Now we are actually able to begin testing. And that's exciting, actually.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Doug.
Thank you, Mary.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.